America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here. I want to send a special shout out to those of you that are already in the parking lots at Arrowhead Stadium. I want to give you a special shout out because I want you to know that you love and appreciate football a lot more than I do. I love football. In some ways, you could say that I've dedicated my life to talking about football, and there's nothing I'd rather do than come here every single day and talk about the Chiefs or NFL with you guys. But the passion that you have to be outside in this gloomy weather, it's rainy, and you are just eating omelets and chicken wings to get ready for Monday Night Football, that's not a love that I possess. That's a love that is so pure and beautiful and special that I want to commend you. I want to salute you. So before we move forward with anything else in today's show, I don't want you to feel like your hard work has gone unnoticed. I don't want you to feel like nobody is paying attention. The fact that you are already outside for a game that doesn't kick off until 7:15 and it's 2 o'clock, I want you to know that I appreciate you. You took off work today. You could be listening to music right now. You could be listening to Red Kingdom, and you are listening to this show, so I appreciate you. We have a lot to get into today. It is an incredible sports day. Monday Night Football is coming up later today. We have every team in the NBA that plays later today, and also the start of college basketball. KU plays later today against Howard. Also, Missouri, they take on Memphis later today as well. I believe K-State, they start their season off tomorrow. So it is a fun time in the sports calendar. We will get to Monday Night Football coming up in just a bit. Again, my name is Carrington. Rob is here. We are taking you up until 4 o'clock when we hand things off to Chiefs pregame. But before we do any of that other stuff, we got to do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Wow. Rob's already checked
out. Fired up.
Rob's already done. It's Monday at 2 o'clock.
I heard you say basketball's back. I jumped to that Carolina game, baby.
My goodness. You and something. What is going on, my brother?
Peak the time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. So whether you're in the mood for a slice or two or you want a whole pie, be sure to visit now pizzatascio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me, I guess, three favors. Number one, you cannot win the pizza if you don't remind Rob what day it is. I could see if he had hit that button on a Thursday, because technically Rob only is working a 4-day week. Rob will not be here on Friday because he is going to KU in North Carolina. The fact that Rob hit the ladies and gentlemen the weekend, that's the first soundbite that he played. Rob is not focused. Rob's mind is not on what we have going on here. That man bet on Santa Clara and St. Louis basketball that's about to tip off. So that's number one. Number two, I need you listening every day at 2 o'clock. Number three, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends to listen to The Drive right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, this is where I would like to begin today's show, because I am focused on what we need to discuss and what we need to talk about. There are two interesting things about this game. Now, there was a time in which I thought that Tampa Bay could potentially put a scare into the Kansas City Chiefs. Tampa Bay got off to a pretty solid start earlier this year. They have two of the better receivers in the National Football League. Baker Mayfield is playing like an upper half quarterback in the National Football League. There was a time in which I would have argued that this was a trap game. I'm not going to do that today. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Now, we don't have to do the whole song and dance. I know how you guys are. If I'm too confident about the Chiefs, you call me a jinx. If I'm not confident enough, I'm being negative, and that's why I'm Chargers dot, and that's why you listen to the other sports station. We can just skip that today. I'm picking the Chiefs. You're picking the Chiefs. Everybody is picking the Chiefs today. But in relation to the score and how this game is going to turn itself out, we usually see every other great team in the league eventually kind of flex their muscle and just put the screws to one of these teams. Now, I have accepted that's not the Chiefs. The Ravens will do that. They did that yesterday. We'll see Buffalo do that. We'll see the Lions do that. Just outright hammer somebody. I'm not really expecting that from the Kansas City Chiefs, because I don't know why you would expect that from the Chiefs, because the Chiefs don't usually blow people out. So we went back and we looked this up because I was genuinely curious. So about a year ago, you might remember, there were a lot of innuendos and rumors about it, but we didn't know for sure until Taylor Swift showed up at the Chiefs game. They played the Bears that day, and let me tell you, it was belt to behind. The Chiefs smoked the Bears that day. Since that afternoon, the Chiefs have played 10 home games. They have won those 10 home games by a combined 60 points. Now, you don't have to be a math major to know that that is the average of 6 points per game. The spread is 9 today. So I think the right play is on the Buccaneers plus the 9, but I'm not expecting a lot of you to bet on Tampa Bay today. So maybe you're like me and you just don't touch it and you're just going to watch the game or maybe bet on other things. I would like to see the Chiefs go out there and kind of take advantage of a team that I think is kind of hobbled right now. No Mike Evans later today. No Chris Godwin later today. This is a team that is pretty wounded right now. This is a team in Kansas City that, even though they have not always played like it, I believe they're the best team in the National Football League. I would like to see what their A game looks like and go out there and see a great performance. I'm not really confident that that's what's going to happen, but I am pretty confident that the Chiefs are going to win today, because that's all the Chiefs do. They win, 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 no matter what. So the number one thing I'm looking for is I just kind of want to see the Chiefs play well. I know that seems kind of ambiguous, but I would like to see them blow Tampa Bay out. I don't know if they can really blow Tampa Bay out. They don't really blow anybody out. But I just want to come on here tomorrow and feel like, man, you know what? They played really well. That was a comfortable second half. That we don't have to have that stretch in the third quarter, which seems like it exists in every single Chiefs game, where the Chiefs have played all right, but the score is a little closer than you think. A turnover happens, and now the other team has possession. And if they do something here, this game could really get interesting. Can we just skip that part today? Let's just skip that part today. So that's the number one thing that I'm looking for. Now, Rob, the second thing that I'm looking for in today's game is about DeAndre Hopkins. What does his usage look like? The Chiefs have been pretty clear that they are kind of bringing D-Hop along, and that's perfectly fine with me. You have two games remaining until you get to the Denver Broncos, or excuse me, you get past the Denver Broncos, and then you get to the Buffalo Bills, and I think that's the game that we are going to see the first of D-Hop and what his usage is going to be for the season. So last week against the Raiders, DeAndre Hopkins played in 34% of their snaps. He ran 14 routes, and they threw it to him three times. Is he going to get a bump up in usage today, or is that going to be sort of the plan for the first couple of weeks of D-Hop until they are ready to unleash, they feel more comfortable about his usage in the offense, and they go on from there? I'm not really sure if you can predict what's going to happen with D-Hop coming in today. It wouldn't surprise me if DeAndre Hopkins has 25 yards later today. It also wouldn't surprise me if he has 80 yards later today and he has six catches and scores a touchdown. I think it is basically a dealer's choice. It is a free roll of what's going to happen later today. So, Rob, as we begin today's conversations about Tampa Bay and Kansas City, I do think that Tampa Bay is a good team. I'm not really sure how good they are in the face of all of the injuries. This is a game that I would have been worried about a couple of weeks ago. I told you guys that Tampa Bay was one of the teams that I was looking at as a possibility of giving the Chiefs the first loss. This is usually a spot where the text line would be filled with, this is a trap game. But I think that Tampa Bay is a little bit too banged up to come into Kansas City and win today. Can the Chiefs play well in this game? Can this be a 31-20 win today for the Kansas City Chiefs? And it is pretty comfortable in the second half of the game because they have not had a whole lot of those games at home over the course of the last year or so. So that's one side of the coin. And then the other side of the coin, and I just think this is going to be a topic for the first month that he is here, is what is the usage for DeAndre Hopkins? The Chiefs have made it very clear that they are not pushing him in any way, and I don't think there is any reason to. It is the early part of November. But this team has a pretty important game coming up in a couple of weeks. I would like to see his usage grow a little bit, get more routes, get a bigger workload. And then when you get ready to the game against Buffalo, you are ready to unleash and fully put him in that Juju Smith-Schuster role and Rashee Rice the way that they discussed. So I'm sure there are other topics, and we definitely will get to a bunch of them. 913-586-7965. But those are the two things that I'm looking forward to as we get ready for Monday Night Football.
I think those are the big two things to watch, because we can be honest about the Chiefs and we can be honest with this game. A game like tonight doesn't have any juice. I mean, maybe your social media and your, you know, Twitter timeline or whatever they're calling it now is different than mine. But outside of the people at Arrowhead who are just excited to be at Arrowhead, it's rainy. It's an NFC South opponent. The Bucks are beaten up. The spread is 9.5. There's no juice tonight for this game. There's no energy. So it should be a ho-hum beating from the Chiefs. It should probably look like last week's game, where it's 27-13. The game's kind of over. Maybe the Bucks get an oh by the way. Maybe it'll feel like that Saints Monday night game where the Chiefs kind of dominated from start to finish, but it never felt like they were going to run away from a team. That's kind of how I see tonight playing out. The only interesting thing to me is Hopkins. I've seen what his over-under is on different betting sites. It's around 30, if that's the number you're looking for, if you want to push it down or push it up. So, like, Hopkins and do the Chiefs come out and blow someone out are the two major storylines.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about one of the key stories that emerged over the weekend. Are the Chiefs interested in getting Marshon Lattimore? This is something that we went to New Orleans last week to discuss. We'll go back and we'll play a little bit of that, and we'll also talk about the news from Diana Rossini that the Chiefs could possibly not be done. We are about 25 hours away from the end of the NFL trade deadline, so there is not a lot of time left. If a move is going to happen, it is going to happen at some point over the course of the next day. We'll also talk about the Royals, as the Royals making a little bit of moves today, as they have brought back Michael Wacha on a 3-year contract. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's talk about one of the top stories from this weekend. Diana Rossini of The Athletic, formerly of ESPN, She put out a report that the Chiefs are interested in cornerback Marshon Lattimore. Now, this would be a major move, in my opinion. I still think he's a pretty productive player for the New Orleans Saints. And if you get him, that shores up a position of, I would say, thinning depth if you were the Kansas City Chiefs. But there's always the money attached to it. So let me give you the financials for Marshon Lattimore. If the Chiefs acquire him, they would guarantee him $605,000 between now and the end of the season. He also has $18 million and $18.5 million that are non-guaranteed coming up after this season. Now, that is obviously going to affect the value of what you're going to get in a trade. I think we all know the Chiefs well enough to know they are not picking up Marshon Lattimore if he has $36.5 million left on his deal. But the Saints have a lot of dead cap, so if somebody would just take on that contract, that would be a huge benefit and a huge plus to a Saints team that probably needs to start over. They have kicked the can down the road for the last couple of years in a post-Drew Brees world, but it's time. They fired their head coach today. They need to fire their quarterback soon enough, and they just need to start over and rip the Band-Aid off. So we had somebody on from New Orleans last week, and we asked him what does he think the compensation would be for Marshon Lattimore.
Reportedly, New Orleans was looking for something in that second to third round range. We're not getting anybody to kind of bite on that. Reportedly, the offers were closer to the fifth or sixth round range. Would they be willing to compromise, meet in the middle, you know, late third, early fourth? I don't know. Lattimore is a guy that the reason why he came up in trade discussions in New Orleans is just because the Saints have a logjam at defensive back. That is a place where they have some depth. Contract situation. He's due to get paid here pretty soon. So, you know, he's still a very productive player. If Kansas City or another contending team were able to get their hands on him, you'd be getting a guy who's a legitimate difference maker.
All right, Rob, so let's talk about this. We'll also read your text 913-586-7965. I do not believe the Chiefs are trading a second-round pick for Marshon Lattimore or any player that they could acquire at the deadline. So let's not even have that conversation. Now, I would say, and maybe the Saints are willing to do a deal, and maybe the Chiefs are going to have to take on a little bit more money than they feel comfortable with. I think to get a player of Marshon Lattimore's quality, especially at that position, and there not being a lot of good options, I think it's going to take one of those third round picks. So if the Chiefs are not willing to come off of the pick that they got for L'Jarius Sneed or their own third round pick, I'm not really sure how serious they are about getting Marshon Lattimore. I don't think that you're getting him for the cheap. I don't think you're getting him for the deal. The Chiefs clearly have a need at corner, and there's just not a lot of really quality corners available. And I would say a team that looks like they would also be in line to go get him, wouldn't it be the Baltimore Ravens, a team right now that is dead last against the pass? That's a team that needs to go out there. We knew when it came to Amari Cooper that you were going to be going up against the Buffalo Bills. I think you knew that the Ravens could potentially make a move. They went out and they got Deontay Johnson. Now, you also made a move, and you went to go get D-Hop. Are you going to make another move? Are you going to make one additional move that I wouldn't say puts the Chiefs over the top because they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, and that feels a little bit over the top to say, no pun intended. But this is a very good player at a position that you have right now that is really starting to lose depth. I don't think you're going to have Jalen Watson back at any point this season, and Najee Johnson right now is out with the concussion. So you have Trent McDuffie, and that's kind of about it. So it's probably going to cost the top 100 pick to go get a player like Marshon Lattimore, and you're maybe going to have to eat a little bit money than you want to. That's not really what the Chiefs do for the most part, but if you were in the middle of trying to go for a three-peat, maybe you do something that's a little bit off script for you. So I wouldn't be entirely shocked if they go out and get Marshon Lattimore. I would be surprised if they give up a two. If they give up a second round pick to go get Marshon Lattimore, I will be stunned if that's the case. But you've got two third round picks. You've already made one addition on the offensive side that was a need for you. If you made another move on the defensive side and you're going to roll the dice with that and also wait for guys to get healthy, I don't think that's necessarily a bad plan. I also think that Lattimore is a player that maybe you could get him to restructure to really give yourself a chance. And he's still a young enough player that you could justify keeping Marshon Lattimore for the next 18 to 24 months.
Me and you are on the same page here. I saw the story over the weekend from Diana Rossini, and my first thought was, that'd be great But based on what we imagine he costs, that doesn't seem like how the Chiefs operate right now. Think of that the moves the Chiefs have made in season trade-wise, Carrington. They're more than fine giving up a fifth, a sixth, a conditional sixth, even a fourth or a fifth to go get their guy. They do not, in season, give up premium assets. Last year, when their wide receiver group was me, you, Mr. Applebee's, and no one else, it was just barren wasteland. This show spent tons of time talking about what receiver they're going to trade for. What'd they do? They traded basically nothing and went and got Mecole Hardman. This year, hey, they might need some help at pass rusher. They might need some help at wide receiver. They might need some help at corner. Let's talk about what they could do. Well, they traded the literal lowest asset I can imagine for Joshua O'Shea. They gave up a 2026, sixth? That's nothing. And they gave up even less somehow for DeAndre Hopkins. They are not a team that is giving up premium assets in October. They might do it in March. They might use their first round pick to go up and get the player they want. We saw that with Xavier Worthy. They might use their first round pick to go get the player they want on another team and get him a contract. We saw that once with Frank Clark. But I don't think on election day, trade deadline day, the Chiefs are giving up a day two pick for Lattimore. So I don't think this is going to happen unless the market comes to Kansas City. Kansas City is not going to the market. If New Orleans is saying, yeah, it's either that Tennessee third or your third, I think Brett Veach is going to politely hang up the phone and say thank you. But if the Saints are in free fall and they have to unload money because their cap situation is trash and their team is worse, and they're willing to eat it and say, okay, we'll give up a fifth, we'll take a fifth, maybe he's a Chief, but I don't imagine if the cost is premium that Marshawn Lattimore is wearing red.
Yeah, I mean, right now on the text line, CDOT, without a steal of a deal, I wouldn't even consider Lattimore. Then you're not making another trade then. At least not for a player like this. Marshawn Lattimore is 28 years old. And still, I would say, a pretty productive corner. Certainly in the conversation of top 10, top 15 in the league. Then you're just not acquiring Marshawn Lattimore. And that's perfectly fine. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl without acquiring these kind of players. But you know the saying is, if you want quality, you kind of got to pay for it. That you can go get a Joshua Oche and a guy who has really struggled in four of his last 5 years, a guy on a one-year prove-it kind of deal. And sure, you can bring him in for a future sixth-round pick and hope that he fits your scheme and fits your system. But if you want to really swing big, it kind of costs a little bit of money. You're going to have to take on something. Like, you're going to have to pay for it. So if that's not what the Chiefs want to do, that's perfectly fine. It's not even really worth the conversation. If you're not willing to trade a top 100 pick, I don't think you're getting Marshawn Lattimore. You are not getting him for the wink, wink. Well, we're going to eat 80% of this deal, and we're going to take a 2027 seventh round pick to acquire this player. That's just not what Marshawn Lattimore is going for. He will then finish out the season for the New Orleans Saints and then hit free agency this offseason, and then he'll go get $15 million to $18 million a year, which doesn't really seem that bad for a guy who is 28 years old and will be 28 years old when he negotiates that deal. The same way you always talk about how the Chiefs really only extend players and are only really interested in guys under 30, because that's the time to have them. The time to have Marshawn Lattimore is right now at 28 years old. So it just costs a little bit to go get those guys. So we had our guest on from New Orleans and we asked him if Lattimore was going to be traded. Now, they have subsequently lost since then. They lost to the Carolina Panthers, so maybe that changes things a bit. And we also got the report from Diana Rossini, which made it seem like it was a possibility. But here's what Casey Guskalera had to say.
I will say yes, just because past experience tells me that New Orleans has never sold before under Mickey Loomis, and they are still of the belief here in the city, whether this is true or not, and a lot of fans don't think that this is the case, but a lot of the front office folks say they are struggling because of injuries and they're not nearly as far away as the 2-6 record would think. So I would say yes, though if it were me personally in the decision-making room, I would sell off and I would start building towards the future.
I mean, a lot has changed since then. They have lost a game and they've also fired their coach. So in just a week's time, I would say the landscape has drastically changed for the New Orleans Saints that now makes this a possibility. I don't think that Alvin Kamara, for example, is available. I know Chris Olave is injured, but I don't think they'd be trading Chris Olave if he was fully healthy. I think Lattimore is a little bit of a different case. At some point, the Saints have to start getting some of that money off the books, and he would just be a prime candidate if you are not going to move forward with him as a player to go ahead and get that money off the books and just start over if you were the Saints. You delayed this process for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's time to do that if you really want to have success in that division. I will say this, Rob, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I will be very, very curious to see what the role is for Joshua Oche later on today. Now, I think we all have the same expectation for him. He is coming in to be a rotational pass rush, a guy that can come in on third down, a guy that can get after the quarterback. And I would say 99.8% of people are coming into this signing with the right mindset. And that's good. I'm happy I don't have to find stats to tell you that this probably won't work out, because everybody has the same mindset about this. But I will say this. If this man comes off the street, so to speak, was not on the team last week, and he is ahead of Felix Anyudike, it is going to tell me everything I need to know about where they think he is right now. At a minimum, Felix should be ahead of this guy. Now, Felix is already behind Mike Dana. You then add somebody else. He's now behind that individual. He's your sixth defensive lineman, seventh defensive lineman on the team, and we're midway through his second season. So I don't think it's any reason for alarm, but I do think today how they use Oche, where he plays, how often he plays, what's his snap count look like, I do think they're going to give us a little bit of a glimpse to where they feel Felix is right now. Felix, your first round pick should not be behind a guy that you just acquired for a 2025 sixth round pick. That guy should not come in and jump the line, so to speak, and be ahead of Felix if you really feel like Felix is developing the way that he should.
So I have mixed feelings on that. I don't think you're wrong per se, but I think the Chiefs are really, really good at this. And there's a lot of people in sports who are good. The Chiefs are one of them, of using a player's skill set and maximizing it. And I don't know that that's an indictment on someone else. Like, if they use Oche as third down speed rush type only, and he has a sack or something tonight and FAU doesn't, I don't know that means that they're down on his development or he's behind the curve or that it's anything more than just there was a player they saw available for trade that does a specific thing well. They went out, they targeted that specific thing, and they are getting the most out of that player. Now, if Oche is better over the whole sample size, maybe not just tonight, but over the sample size of today versus into the season, and then you see him get a contract in the offseason, I will come around. But I don't know that the single game sample size is totally fair there, because I think tonight it's going to be third and 12 and Oche comes in and he might beat whoever the left tackle is for the Bucks, you know, Tristan Wirfs around the bend, speed rush, sack. I don't know that means that, oh my goodness, Oche's ahead of him. But if he's doing that in the playoffs and FAU's watching from the sideline, I'll be more open to it. But game one, that's too small a sample size.
I guess for me, though, there's some players I'm willing to wait for the postseason on. Felix don't deserve that. If you guys are telling me that I shouldn't be concerned with what Travis Kelce is doing because you know he's going to show up in January, perfectly fine to have that conversation. I'm happy to have that conversation about Patrick Mahomes. I'm not willing to have that conversation about a guy who's only playing in 35% of the snaps in Felix. So if you were telling me that Oche comes in here and he's beating out one of the best offensive linemen in the National Football League and he is a disruptor today, you are not going to hear me over the course of the next 6 weeks like, hey, what about this other guy? No. You're going to get Charles Omenihu back at some point. You know who your top five defensive linemen are. Run with that. And is Felix in that group? Is he in that conversation? So I do think there is a little bit of a position battle. Now, I don't think that Felix is sort of out of the huddle, so to speak, and he's not going to be on the field, but they have a clear rotation of how they're using him and a hierarchy system. They brought somebody in. Are they bringing somebody in to be behind Felix, or are they bringing somebody in to take some of his snaps away? I think is an interesting point and will really determine kind of where they are right now as in terms of where his development is. So let's talk a little bit about the Royals, and we'll get back to Chiefs here coming up in just a bit. If you missed it, Michael Wacha has signed an extension with the Kansas City Royals that is going to keep him on the team for at least the next 3 years. Vern was on Cody and Gold earlier. He says that this move is giving confidence in the Royal starters.
When you look at last year's team and how many guys met or exceeded expectations, and for the most part, you're running that thing back again next year. Now you're expecting, and I heard you mention this earlier in the show, the bullpen on opening day 2025 should be far superior to the bullpen in 2024. Yes. So if there is any sort of regression from a Lugo, from a Singer, from an Alec Marsh, you're hoping that the bullpen could offset that. But as far as the innings that were logged by a Cole Reagans, by a Michael Wacha, I think I'm going to need those to be duplicated. I don't know if I'm banking on 200 from Seth Lugo again. And like you mentioned with the injury, whether that's Singer, Wacha, Reagans, whoever ends up finding themselves on the IL for a few weeks, to me, hopefully it's not as damaging as it was this past season, because when they lost Michael Wacha for that week and a half, they were a shell of themselves. To me, that was the one stretch that you kind of just throw out. The Dodgers series, the Yankees series, where they dominated the Royals at Kauffman Stadium.
I will say this in relation to the Royals, and we'll get back to the Chiefs here coming up momentarily. The Royals deserve a lot of credit. I think maybe 2 years ago, maybe a little bit further back, this is the only move that the Royals would have done. And we would have applauded the Royals. You had a pitcher who could have been a free agency. He was very key in this team making it to the postseason this year. And he leaves. He signs for more money. He signs for a bigger market, a team that has a better chance than the Royals. And we all kind of say, well, that's what we expected. So the fact that the Royals kept this player and also feeling like this is not the end is a pretty positive step. I give the Royals a lot of credit for going out and doing this and putting up the money. And I also think being willing to, once we really get to the hot stove portion of the season, being a team that I think is going to continue to spend money to really try to give yourself a chance to win the division. This is a really solid foundation. If you were telling me that they're going to have Reagans, Lugo, and Wacha as their top three again, let's see what happens with Brady Singer. Is he on the team? Are they going to package him for parts, maybe fill some of the other needs that they have on their team? You know what bringing Michael Wacha does? He gives you now flexibility. That's what he does. He gives you flexibility that if you're going to run with those four again as your rotation, good. And you feel like you can match up against anybody once again. If you want to roll with Reagans, Lugo, and Wacha, and you want to trade Brady Singer, you still feel very good because you've got your big three and you still feel like you can match up against most teams. I'm with Vern. I do think their bullpen's going to be better to start the season. That's not really my question. My question is going to be, they have acknowledged what they need this offseason. They said they need corner bats. So whether that is third base or whether that is left or right field, they need a little bit more pop in their lineup. So that's really the criteria that I'm holding them to. This is what they said they need. Are they going to go out and spend the money to go acquire those things? Because those things usually are not cheap. Here's what Vern had to say about what he thinks the Royals' next move could be.
The next move to me, would be an on-base bat, but you need to look a little bit deeper than that, because I don't know if there's an everyday spot right now that is open on this team. So when we cast out that line for the free agents, the names that you're looking for, to me, are not guys that are expecting 145 starts, expecting 400-plus at-bats, because when you look at this team, right, you know Vinny and Salvi and Freddie and Bobby. Right, Massey, I think everyone agrees, is the second baseman. JJ was going on and on about Michael Garcia and their belief in him and their belief in MJ Melendez in left. We like Izzy in center. Renfro, you have to pay him as he picks up his option.
Yeah.
So maybe you can bring in someone to platoon with MJ, someone to platoon with Garcia or Renfro. But as far as here's the third base job, here's the second base job, I don't see him bringing in that caliber of player. So I don't see them spending that amount of money.
Again, we'll get back to the Chiefs here coming up in just a little bit, but I give the Royals a lot of credit for, I would say, completing phase one of the offseason. And phase one was what was going to happen with Michael Wacha. They have now ponied up. They have paid the money. Michael Wacha is coming back. Now they have two big questions in front of them. What's the future for Brady Singer? And is he a part of the Royals' future? And how do you go back adding one or maybe two more bats in this lineup? If you can do that, there will be a lot of hope, a lot of optimism when baseball season rolls around, when we figure out if the Chiefs have won three consecutive Super Bowls or not. And there are going to be people not just talking about a wild card. The conversation will be about the Royals winning the American League Central. They felt like in a lot of ways they were right there. They were certainly knocking on the door and they just couldn't walk through it. Well, they grabbed one of those wild card spots and I would say they did about exactly what you expected them to do. Rob, you and I thought they matched up well against the Orioles. They beat the Orioles and then they went up against the Yankees, the team that made it to the World Series. And I just don't think the Royals from a roster standpoint are ready to compete with a team like the Yankees. But I thought the Royals showed pretty good fight in their series against the New York Yankees and at least showed themselves to be competitive. I think it also gave you a glimpse into what the offseason needs are going to be for the Royals. And Rob, we'll find out if they are willing to spend the money to go meet their needs over the course of the next 60, 75 days or so.
I think the Wacha move shows you they are, though. Like, we applauded, and we should have, applauded John Sherman and co. last year for getting Bobby Witt locked up. It was a thing that we kind of all were hoping would happen, but we had never seen happen in our lifetimes, Carrington. Beltran walked, Hosmer walked, Moustakas, Kane, that Grinke, they all left. So we applauded John Sherman and ownership. Hey, you did something no one else has done. You locked up the guy. Now we look at this and it feels like it's the first of a couple moves. It feels like they're willing to spend what it takes to do what's next. In the past, you would be like, oh, they signed Wacha. It's November 4th and they're done. That is not how it feels this year. So you talk about if they're willing to spend, pony up, and make the team go from a solid wild card team to a division contender and a potential division leader. I think ownership has shown you at every step along the way, we will do what it takes to pay to be in that group. And I think Wacha today, or I guess yesterday, is step one of that plan. And I feel like it's part of multiple steps, which we haven't felt that way about the Royals in a long time.
Coming up on the other side, we'll tell you what Vegas thinks about how D-Hop is going to perform later today, and also the rest of the wide receiver group. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go through some of the wide receiver slash pass catcher player props for the Kansas City Chiefs today. So they have Travis Kelce's over under on receptions at 5.5. They also have his yards at 61.5. For DeAndre Hopkins, they have it at 3.5 catches. They also have his yards around 43.5. Xavier Worthy, his over under is 38.5 for today. Noah Gray is at 23.5. Justin Watson is at 18.5. Kareem Hunt is at 11.5. All right, Rob, if I told you right now, I will give you a free bet and you got to pick the pass catching numbers for two Chiefs players, who would you take? I would start with Xavier Worthy. I just think it's the best value, especially because the targets are going to be there. He has been given 8 targets in each of the last 2 Kansas City Chiefs games. So you would have to think that the volume is going to be there today. He's going to get thrown the ball 6, 7, maybe 8 times again today. If that's the case, I think he gets at least 40 yards. So I would take yes on Xavier Worthy. I like Noah Gray at 23.5. It just feels like it's really, really good value. Now, Kelce, if the number's going to be that low, I think you should probably always take it. That'll get 70, 75 yards because he's gotten the most targets with all of the injuries. But I'm usually about finding value. And Justin Watson, he could clear that bet for you with just one catch. He has one catch for 22 yards. You can go ahead and walk to the window and take your winnings. So those are probably the two that I would take if you asked me. I would take Xavier Worthy's over at 38.5. I also would take Justin Watson at 18.5. I thought his usage was encouraging in the last game. I think we could see something pretty similar. I would stay away from D-Hop because I just think it's a little bit too uncertain right now of how often he's going to be in and how many targets and opportunities he's going to have. Those are the two wide receivers I would focus on.
You know what's interesting? We don't see this the same at all. I would be in on DeAndre Hopkins' number.
Okay.
43.5. I mean, he was right there to do that exact same thing against the Raiders on, what, 3 days of practice? I don't even think it was even 3. I think it was like a practice, a second practice, and a walkthrough. So, yeah, I would be in on D-Hop because I think with now a week plus to prepare and Andy Reid starting to understand and utilize his skill set and Patrick Mahomes getting more familiar with him, I think some of that volume we saw for Xavier Worthy is headed to DeAndre Hopkins. So if I'm going to get Hopkins at 43.5, you basically need, what, 3, 4 catches? Because he's a chain mover type? I would definitely take him. We're on the same page about Noah Gray. Noah Gray seems like the obvious play. 23.5 seems like a good number. He usually finds himself open 2 to 3 times a game. Mm-hmm. So Gray and Hopkins are my play. Also, I would bet the under on Justin Watson. He's been invisible this year. I know we're talking about overs, but Justin Watson is just a thought. He's an idea.
He was kind of back last week. I mean, last week against the Raiders, he had 3 catches for 33 yards. And I'm with you against the Niners. He didn't really get a lot of opportunities. 1 catch for 8 yards. I just think at 18, he's probably the right play. He gets 2 to 4 targets in the game, and you kind of go from there. Noah Gray, I'm with you. It does feel a little bit low. He's hit the over in 3 of the last 4 games. Now, he hit the under in the Raiders game. He only had 3 catches for 23 yards. I would probably be more on the side of a bounce back game for Gray. I would just, if it was me, I usually kind of try to target those guys in the middle for the Chiefs because let's say you bet on 3 of them, right? Let's say you bet on Xavier Worthy, Noah Gray, and Justin Watson. I think you usually go 2 for 1. 2 out of 1 in that scenario, or 2 for 3, excuse me, you probably go 2 for 3 and you still come up a little bit. I don't know if all 3 hit there just because it is so weird. Kelce has a little bit better day than you think. D-Hop has a little bit better day than you think. Maybe Samaje Perine has 15 or 20 yards, but I usually think kind of taking 3 of those second tier guys for Kansas City's offense, I think you're going to hit more times than not.
The problem, and what we're explaining, is gambling. Those second tier guys, they are feast or famine.
No, for sure.
I mean, I mentioned Justin Watson being a ghost. You're right. 18.5 seems low, and if you think he's going to get the volume, then it is low. Play it out. But the Raiders game, he did it. The Niners game, he didn't. We can go back through his game log. He's doing that less often than he's doing it. So I understand the play. 18.5 is disrespect, but it feels like a risk. If you're looking for my tier 2 player, it's definitely Noah Gray. Also, someone on the text line says P. Ryan yards are comically low. I didn't see the P-Ry number.
He's not somebody I would bet on.
I was about to say, I'm like, I would. That's not even tier two. I mean, P. Ryan's a nice player, but betting on tier three guys is just really foolish to me.
Yeah, no, he's just not a guy that I would really bet a lot on just because of the uncertainty. I wouldn't be shocked if he has 6 yards receiving today or 26 yards receiving. It just seems like it fluctuates so much. I just think there's a little bit better value than that. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, I'll give you the three player props that I like the most today. Rob will also give you the three player props that he likes the most. We'll give you a little player prop six pack coming up here in just a bit. We'll also talk about Baker Mayfield coming up at the top of the hour, how I think Baker has really become a shining example of quarterback development in the National Football League. I want to talk about this for just a little bit, and it's not Chiefs related, it's football related, but at this point everybody has seen it. I've never seen a human being do what Saquon Barkley did yesterday. Never. Not one time. We've seen guys do a little juke move. We've seen guys do a spin move. We've seen guys jump over other individuals. I don't know if I've seen somebody do it as elegant, as crisp, in such a short period of time. And Rob, it was like he had eyes in the back of his head and his spider sense was tingling. He jumped over one of those individuals backwards. He jumped over him backwards and landed on his feet and was honestly about to turn around and keep running if he wasn't instantly tackled. We could talk about a lot of things that happened yesterday. The Rams won in an overtime game yesterday. I think the Rams are the best team in that division. The Cowboys, we can go ahead and kick dirt on the Cowboys. Their season is over. The Lions are playing better than anybody in the National Football League right now. And yes, that includes the Kansas City Chiefs. They look incredible on a week-in, week-out basis. The story from yesterday in the National Football League is, oh my goodness, what in the world did Saquon Barkley do yesterday? That was one of the most impressive runs I've ever seen.
People say this a lot on social media, oh, hanging in the Louvre. Legitimately, that is one of the more iconic football plays we've ever seen. And if it ends up as some sort of piece of art, what is it, an NFT or something of that nature, cool by me. Because I have never, ever, ever seen anything like that.
Incredible.
We've seen people get hurtled. Getting hurdled at this point is like, oh.
Yeah, it's nothing. That happens every week.
He did it.
Kelsey will do that later today.
He did it from a standstill backwards. I was watching Red Zone at the time. You know, I had the Lions on the main TV and I had Red Zone on the back TV. And I just happened to be watching and I saw that play. It, honest to goodness, I do not understand the physics of how he did that. Because he had shook a player before and spun. It wasn't like he caught it and felt him bearing down on it. He had made a previous football move. Just the athleticism required there is honestly off the charts.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't really make any sense. I know you and I will just forever disagree, but you could have got Saquon Barkley for the same price that Gabe Davis signed for this offseason. You could have got Saquon Barkley, who is clearly the second best running back in the NFL behind Derrick Henry. Now, I know running backs are dime a dozen, and they don't really matter a whole lot. The reason the Eagles are drastically better this year than they were last year is the addition of Saquon Barkley. At the end of that game, he was the only player I trusted in that game, him and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith had one of the more impressive catches in the back of the end zone. We saw some great athleticism this week, whether it was Garrett Wilson on Thursday Night Football, whether it was Devontae Smith in the back of the end zone, or that catch from Saquon Barkley. Did you also know that Bo Nix has as many touchdown catches as Tyreek Hill? I don't know if that's a stat that you were aware of, Rob, but Bo Nix has as many touchdown catches as Tyreek Hill does. If I was in a scenario where I got to sit here and I got to watch film and I got to watch Bo Nix run a route and moss me, I mean at the high point, go up there and grab the ball, I don't know if I could show up to practice the next day. That's something I would want you to immediately burn the film. He did that yesterday.
I mean, that was the only high point of the Broncos game.
That was it. That was the last point of happiness for Denver yesterday, because after that, it was belt to behind yesterday is what it was.
Because I would say Denver might be on fraud watch. They were 5-3,
they
and now
are.
They're 5-4, and their schedule reeks of a 7-10 football team. So it is bad day for the Ravens DB that got mossed by 35-year-old Bo Nix, but I think the Ravens got the last laugh in that one.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about Baker Mayfield as he is starting for Tampa Bay. And you know what? Baker turned out to be all right. We'll discuss it.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Right here, so drive. All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. You know what? Baker Mayfield has actually turned out to be a pretty capable quarterback in the National Football League. Now, I think it was a scenario that Baker was probably a little bit too immature to handle everything that he was dealing with. He was certainly overdrafted. I think we have enough information now to know that Baker Mayfield is not a player who is worthy of being the number one overall pick. But it goes a lot in line, Rob, with the conversation that you and I were having last week about developing quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield still has some of the issues that he had in Cleveland. He is just going to turn the football over. He has 9 interceptions so far. He had 14 in his rookie year, had 21 one year with the Cleveland Browns, and also had another season in which he threw 13 interceptions. He is just a guy who is just going to throw interceptions and have questionable decisions. But I think you've seen that he is a fairly accurate quarterback. He's completing 71% of his passes. And the good of Baker has always been there. He threw 28 touchdown passes last year. He has 21 touchdown passes so far this season. When Tampa Bay was healthy and had a pretty good infrastructure around him, Baker was playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, he's not in that upper echelon. He's nowhere near the Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar. But that 8 to 10 range, that grouping of however you would have ranked him, I think Baker had himself firmly in that category. A lot of it is just infrastructure. Now, I know it's one of these weird things that we never want quarterbacks to have too many weapons, but they put Baker in a really good situation. You have a future Hall of Fame receiver, at least to some people, with Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin, who would be a number one on a lot of teams in the league. Kate Otten, I think, has turned into a pretty capable tight end, is going to be their leading receiver today. They certainly don't have a whole lot else, and they have 3 decent rushing options on Tampa Bay. That was an offense that kind of had an abundance of things. Now, they are not the Chiefs, that they are not equipped to deal with the attrition of an NFL season. Baker Mayfield is not winning without Mike Evans and no Chris Godwin today. Who are his wide receivers? Who is he throwing the football to today? Trey Murphy? Like, who are you expecting Baker to go out there and cook with today? So I don't think that Tampa is healthy enough to come in here and really, really put a scare into Kansas City. But without that, Baker Mayfield, I think, has shown he's a good, capable quarterback in the league. If Baker had been an early second-round pick, every conversation we have about Baker over the course of the last 7 years is drastically different. But that's not the way that things played out. He was the number one overall pick. He certainly flamed out in Cleveland in a lot of ways. But I do think he's shown he's a good, capable NFL quarterback. He's going to play 12, 13 years in the league. And we're going to look back like, man, Baker was all right.
I think real quick, first things first, I'm not playing the breaking news sounder.
the national nightmare is over. Colts and Jets have been flexed out of Sunday Night Football.
Thank you. So we needed that. Thank you, man. We needed that.
That news just came across. So the week the Chiefs play at Buffalo is no longer Colts and Jets to end the night. It is now Bengals at Chargers. So
that ain't that much better.
It
ain't that much better. It's a little bit better, not a whole lot better.
It's better enough.
No, that's fair. I'll give you that.
I mean, I've seen enough Jets football for a lifetime.
No, I didn't want to watch the Jets anymore. So I'm very, very happy that the Jets have been
Joe
moved.
Flacco after last night. I'm good with that one too.
I'm happy with throwing the Jets in red zone. For some reason, we only get them in standalone games. So if you're telling me that now Aaron Rodgers is part of the witching hour, that's great. But he didn't need to be on 720 on NBC. So thank you for that.
Now the national nightmare, like I said, is over. Now back to Baker. Baker is a perfect example, and you said it there. Sometimes where you get drafted is an anchor around your feet. I understand why he was never the solution in Cleveland, but he's playing better football today than any of the quarterbacks they have in Cleveland. But when you get drafted 1-1 and you're the prodigal son, you're held to a higher standard. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is experiencing this in Jacksonville, although I think Baker is better than Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely.
But Trevor Lawrence will get retread somewhere and he will look better, and we will probably have the same conversations. Wait, why'd it go so bad there? Bryce Young one day might have these same conversations. Wait, he went somewhere else and looked viable? Like, sometimes your draft position is not a, oh, wow, he's the guy moment. It's an anchor around your neck, and you struggle to live up to those expectations. Baker's a fine NFL quarterback. I just think it was never going to work in Cleveland and never work for him being 1-1, but he has shown this year he is more than capable of being a salty six seed in the NFC, which is basically what he was last year, although I know they won the division or a four seed. They were sub-500 still.
Yeah, looking at it, I mean, if you remove Caleb Williams because he hasn't played a full season yet, I mean, these have been the last seven quarterbacks that have been selected number one overall. Baker Mayfield, Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff, and Jameis. So, yeah, you would certainly remove Burrow from this. I think he's been by far and away the best number one overall pick. You would probably put Goff number two and feel pretty good about it. He has had a good career.
He got traded, so it's a weird story, but you're right. I would have him at two, but I don't think Rams fans are saying he's two.
I also think he's an example. Now, it's a little bit different because I do think the Rams got the better quarterback out of the deal, but it did take Goff a little bit of time, and we saw one organization give up on Goff kind of early in his career, and he has sort of revitalized his career in Detroit, and now he has them rolling along, and they look like one of the better teams in the National Football League. Outside of that, Baker Mayfield is playing better than Trevor Lawrence. It's not really arguable to me. I think Baker is a little bit more consistent than what Kyler Murray has been, and Baker has certainly had a better NFL career than Jameis Winston. Baker turned out to be fine. A lot of the issues that I think we've seen with these quarterbacks of recent memory is they just get drafted too high. Now, I get it. Because you get the fifth-year option, because the clock starts a little bit earlier for these guys and they can get paid, I certainly get why you would spend the 11th overall pick to go get J.J. McCarthy, or how Daniel Jones gets selected sixth overall. Those guys don't really fall in the draft, and if it works, it is just such a huge, huge positive. But I think what we've seen, because so many of these quarterbacks are being selected in round one and being picked earlier than they should, man, if we kind of went back to where we used to draft these guys as high second round picks, I think this would change things. I mean, in today's NFL, Colin Kaepernick would be a first round pick. In today's NFL, Derek Carr would have been a top 10 pick. Andy Dalton would have been selected in round one, but these guys used to be high second round picks, and you gave them a little bit of time to sit behind certain starters and to develop. But now you just can't do that given the financial situation in the league. But yeah, Baker, I think, has matured in a lot of ways. For the first 2 years of his career, he was way too concerned with Colin Cowherd and going back and forth and arguing with every single media pundit. But once he has kind of quieted that noise and really locked in and found himself in a really good, viable situation, I think that Baker has proven that he is a pretty good and pretty capable NFL quarterback. That I really think that this Tampa team had a little bit of promise, but the injury bugs have just all but derailed this season. It's going to be really hard for Tampa Bay to get back in this thing with Chris Godwin out for the rest of the year with a broken ankle and really no timetable of when Mike Evans is coming back.
And the division, Atlanta seems to be rolling into form, which I think kills Tampa as much as anything. Like preseason, and really the first 4 weeks of the season, we thought, what is Atlanta? We didn't really know. Right as Tampa Bay suffers a slew of injuries, Atlanta has come and started to look like the team we thought they could be. Kirk Cousins was really good yesterday against the Cowboys, but it's not really hard to be good against the Cowboys, but he looked good yesterday. In a weird way, the text line asked this question. Baker Mayfield, if we look like when he retires, are we going to look back at Baker Mayfield as a successful number one overall pick? Like when you do one of those 10 years from now redrafts, like
no.
It's 2028.
I'm going to say no.
But does that make him different than Jared Goff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Goff is definitely better in Detroit than what I think Baker has been. Goff also had success in his first stop, and Baker didn't have that level of success in the first stop. That's where I think it changes just a little bit. I do have a quick question here, and we'll get back to specifically about the Chiefs here coming up in a bit. Classic or trash? Those throwback creamsicle Buccaneers uniforms. Are you on the Bucs unis, or are they a thumb up or a thumbs down? Where are you at on the Tampa Bay creamsicle unis?
All in. That should be their regular jersey.
I love them. They're great.
They're so good.
Why did they switch?
I don't know. I don't even know what their color scheme is now. Is that weird brown and red? No one wants that. Go back to the orange. Be unique. There is a team. I just can't think of it on the top of my head. Is there another team that's orange? Is their primary color in the NFL? Not that I can think of off the top of my head, other than the Browns, but they're called the Browns. Like, yeah, be the creamsicle team. Don't be the same as everyone else and wear red and nasty brown. Yuck, no.
I mean, I definitely understand why they eventually updated jerseys. Like, they got to keep selling you new jerseys, so they're going to keep updating jerseys and updating the look. Man, some of those 90s jerseys are incredible, though. The Chargers 90s, the Houston Oilers uniforms, the Broncos uniforms
Seattle.
Back in the 90s, Seattle's unis. A lot of those late 80s, early 90s uniforms, we didn't need to update. Seattle didn't need to update those unis, man. Keep wearing those uniforms. Tampa Bay didn't need new uniforms. They really didn't. The ones that they have, they're great. They're great. They're fantastic unis. Now, I don't hate the Warren Sapps. I don't hate the Rondé Barber jerseys. Those are fine, but it's something a little special about those creamsicle uniforms, man. I love them.
All in. So basically, every team that runs a throwback out there, I feel like they do a good job.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a team where I'm like, oh, what? I guess maybe Green Bay yesterday. I didn't love their throwbacks, but that's because
yeah, I hate when they wear those 1940
yeah.
Acme Packers. Pittsburgh does that too with
yeah.
the Bumblebee uniforms. Bro,
bad.
I don't. You know what? I don't want any uniforms that Red Grange possibly wore. I don't keep those. Any uniforms that Otto Graham competed in, we don't need to see those again. If Warren Moon didn't go against those unis, if Joe Montana didn't go against those unis or John Elway, we don't need them. That's as far back as we need to go when we were talking about throwback uniforms. All right, coming up on the other side, I am going to give you three player props today that I like. Rob is going to give you three player props that he likes, and we'll hopefully win you a little bit of money later on today. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. We are getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Again, we appreciate you making us a part of your day. All right, I am going to give you three player props that I really like for today. Rob is also going to give you a handful of player props that he really likes as well. We are using the FanDuel app for our numbers. Very happy that they're a sponsor of the show. I'm also going to give you a couple of the game specials that I would potentially take for today's game as well, that if you want to bet just a little bit of money to potentially hit it kind of decent if things actually go the way I think they could today. I do think we could see both teams really lean into the run game today. The Buccaneers are kind of in the same spot that Kansas City is. They just don't have a lot of available options. There's not a lot of guys on that Tampa Bay team that are very healthy. Everybody is on Cade Otton's side today, so I'm staying away from it. I'm fading them. If you're telling me that a team only has one passing option and Spags has to figure that person out, I will trust him to do that. They have basically done that all season, so I am on the opposite side of Cade Otton for today's game, but he is getting a lot of love in this game. All right, Rob, so let's do this. Let's go back and forth. I'll give a player prop. You give a player prop. Let's give people six different options. Throw these into your parlays. Take them as straight bets. Do whatever you want with them. Hit it, Rob. All right, for the first one, I am actually going to take a Buccaneers one to kick things off. I'm going to take over for Baker Mayfield in rushing yards. You can get the over under on Baker Mayfield right now at 15.5. I think that Baker's going to have to take off once or twice in this game to try to help get a first down because they don't have a whole lot of options. I think we know that sometimes you can run against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has hit this over in 3 of his last 4 games. So I'm going to take over 15.5 yards from Baker Mayfield. I think he has 1 or 2 scrambles today that he easily clears that number. I think the number should probably be a little closer to 20 than what it is. I think there's a little bit of wiggle room there. So give me over on Baker Mayfield, 15.5 rushing yards.
I like your heads up with rushing yards. I'm taking a different rush-based player prop. Give me the under on Bucky Irving yards. You know what the Chiefs defense does? They crush running backs.
His number's just not that high.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
They split carries with Rashad White. So
for sure.
He's not a true number one back. It's not like a Jordan Mason or a, you know, Zach Moss or, you know, name a player. It's a little split carry. So his usage is going to be low. And the Chiefs defense stops the run incredibly well. I'll take the under on 33.5 rushing yards from Bucky Irving.
All right, I'm going to give you another one here. Now, this is a little bit of a unique bet, but you can find it right now on the FanDuel app, Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in all 4 quarters is +110. There's not a whole lot of plus money in this game. I think you can get one. You know that the usage is going to be there. There's no question about that. He touches the ball the 3rd most in the NFL since he has entered the league. So you know he's going to get 3 or 4 opportunities on average a quarter, and he just has to get 5 yards per quarter, and you're going to give me plus money to do so. So my second bet, Baker Mayfield's going to the over on rush yards on 15.5. I'll also take Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in each of the 4 quarters. I'm going to take that at +110.
I'm going a little weird here too, but I like this bet. First quarter spread, I'm taking the Bucks +1.5. You know what I know is going to happen tonight, or I'm pretty calm is going to happen tonight? The first drive for the Bucks is going to be successful. Whatever it is about Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense, they're great. After that first drive, if you took the first drive against the Chiefs, that team would go 17-0. They just have no problem. The Raiders march down the field. Every team has marched right down the field in that first drive. So you know what? I like the Bucks +1.5 on the first quarter line. If they score a touchdown and the Chiefs score a touchdown, guess what? The quarter comes to an expiration and it's +1.5. So that's my second of my 6 player props.
All right, the last one I'm going to take is also a Chiefs one. I'm going to take the over on Noah Gray yards. We kind of did this a little bit earlier. If you want to go Justin Watson over on yards, I would also understand it. I'm going to take Noah Gray just because I know the volume and the usage is going to be there for Noah Gray. You can get his over under at 23.5. He has also hit that in 3 of his last 4 games. A lot of this is just kind of finding tendency with players and who is trending in that direction. I think that Noah Gray is trending in the direction where I think he has somewhere between 25 and 35 receiving yards this year. You can take that up to the window and cash your winning. So I'm going to take Noah Gray over under 23.5.
Last one I'm taking is when we talked about earlier on the show, and me and you differ on it, and that's fine. I'm taking over 43.5 for DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins had 3 targets, 2 catches for 29 yards in the Raiders game on a practice and a half, and then a road game. He has now had a full week plus, because of the Monday night game, of preparation to get ready for the Bucks, and the Bucks just gave up yards like you wouldn't believe last weekend to the Atlanta Falcons, who, on paper, the Chiefs offense should be more dynamic than the Falcons. Patrick Mahomes is better than Kirk Cousins. All I need basically is another catch and a target or two. I think Hopkins is going to get that, so over 43.5 for DeAndre Hopkins is my final bet for the day.
So those are our 3 player props apiece. If you want to go ahead and take them, Rob, let's quickly go through them one more time before we move on. I have over Baker Mayfield, over on rushing yards is 15.5. I'll take Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in every quarter of the game. You also can take that at 10 yards if you want to give yourself a little bit better odds. I'm also going to take Noah Gray. His over under right now is at 23.5. Those are my 3 player props.
My 3 are under 33.5 for Bucky Irving. I think the Chiefs defense shuts down the Bucks run game. I like the Bucks plus 1.5 as the first quarter spread. I think the first drive is going to be very important for the Bucks. And I like the over of 43.5 for the newest Chief, DeAndre Hopkins.
All right, those are our player props today. I also saw that there was one that you could take Kareem Hunt and Bucky Irving to each have 10-plus rushing yards in the four quarters. And there was actually really big odds on that. If you just want to throw $2 on there and maybe make $200, you can do that on there. I wouldn't take that because I'm with you, Rob. I just fade all running backs that go against the Chiefs. That's usually the right thing to do. There hasn't been a running back that has really had a good day against them. Derrick Henry has run over just about everybody so far this year. He did not do that to the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you just want one other additional option of what to do for this game, I think that is one to take. I do want to talk about this with you guys really quickly, 913-586-7965. Now, maybe I'm completely off on this, and that's why I give the number. You can tell me if I'm off or not. I think the Chiefs have really reached a point in terms of how we discuss them that the how doesn't really matter as much anymore. Like today, for example, we mentioned that we led the show with it. The most of the good teams in the league, they would usually punish Tampa Bay in this scenario. It's home. It's Monday Night Football. It's rainy. We are the better team, the more talented team. There are not many places across the board that you would take Tampa Bay in this matchup over Kansas City. Baltimore would blow Tampa Bay out in this scenario. Buffalo would blow them out. The Lions would blow them out in this scenario. Most of the teams that you deem to be Super Bowl contending teams would really, really dominate and flex their muscle. I don't really get that sense from the Chiefs. That's not to say, obviously, that they're not in that group of teams, because they clearly are, but this isn't even a game that you guys expect them to blow out Tampa Bay. Maybe we've all just got to that point. Patrick Mahomes could throw two interceptions today and continue having the most in the league. I don't think you guys really care that much. Travis Kelce could go out there and have three catches for 25 yards. I don't really think it matters that much. D-Hop cannot be a factor in today's game. Rob, I do think we've reached a point with the Chiefs that I don't know if people are necessarily concerned with much about the how or how they are playing, which is very, very unique to almost every other team in the National Football League. Now, this is certainly a product of your success and you being so good in the postseason and being able to turn it on late and win the games that really, really matter. But I don't really know many people that are expecting the Chiefs to play really well tonight or even care if they play well or not. It really has reached the point where it really is just what was your grade at the end of it. And the Chiefs at the end of every grade end up getting an A. Like, it is a very simple pass or fail. Did you win or lose? I'm not really sure if we've seen the Chiefs play really well all season. Like, what's the game that you point to and think, ah, that's what I think the A effort is for the Chiefs? But just every game at some point, the Chiefs just continue to remind you, yeah, we're better than everybody else. Like, we are going to figure out in this individual game whatever we need to do to win. And what you need to do in every game to win is drastically different. Sometimes that's Mahomes throwing for 300 yards. Sometimes that's running the ball 30 times. Sometimes that's you need to force two turnovers. Whatever it is, I feel very confident that today they will figure out that equation. I just don't think that Tampa Bay has enough firepower to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. If they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, we could have that conversation. I'd be coming up here a little bit worried about Tampa Bay and the weapons that they have on the outside and how balanced that they are. But you have taken away their two biggest offensive producers, and now you're telling me that Bucky Irving, Rashad White, Cade Otton, and whoever they have at wide receiver are going to come in here and score on this team. I just don't really believe it. But I'm also not really convinced that the Chiefs are going to play extremely well today either. They don't do that very often. So it is kind of unique and weird, so to speak, that we have reached a very unique point with the Chiefs in these games that I don't really think you guys care as much. Like, there was a time where we used to be kind of critical on the Chiefs for them not going out and playing their A game or really kind of flexing their muscle in the regular season. It feels like fans have just gotten over that, and it really comes down to, well, how do you look in late December? How do you look in January? We don't really care about anything else.
I agree the average fan feels that way, and I understand why they do. It's simple pass-fail, but I think the how has to matter because I think the how is a matter of perception. And as long as the Chiefs keep winning, the perception is they're good, talk to me in January. And most of last season, it was they're good, talk to me in January, despite playing bad. But Carrington, I mean, right now, you could easily form a narrative the Chiefs are just getting by, and they are, you know, flirting with danger, and this level of success with the way they play is not sustainable. We don't talk about it that way because they are winning, and the how doesn't really matter to fans, but they keep winning one possession games. They keep losing the turnover differential. They keep doing the things that are really not supposed to be happening for a team that's of this ilk. We played the cut last week. Mike Renner was on CBS, and he said this is the most fraudulent undefeated team of all time. I don't agree with that, but I understand the logic. I feel like it's just a matter of perception. And in Kansas City, inside Chiefs Kingdom, under the red umbrella, it's they're 7-0, they won the Super Bowl back-to-back years. So shut up. All that matters is when it gets cold out post-Christmas, let's go get them. But I think fans maybe need to look at the how, because right now the how and the results sometimes aren't equaling one another. Like, they keep losing the turnover differential. Their quarterback has more picks than he has touchdowns. That just doesn't seem like a sustainable model.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but again, I think that's a media conversation. I don't think fans care about that. Patrick Mahomes has 35 touchdown passes and 23 interceptions in his last 23 games. No one seems to care about that. Travis Kelce right now is 64th in the NFL in receiving yards and has as many touchdown catches as Wanya Morris and Bo Nix. No one seems to care a whole lot about any of those things. That I do think, and if you win, don't you get to set the rules? Like, think about it, Rob. Every dynasty that the NFL had had before the New England Patriots, you kind of had to have dogs around your quarterback. And then we saw Tom Brady do it with Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and a bunch of other guys and Danny Woodhead and James White and all these other guys. And it sort of changed our perception about how you build a team in a post-salary cap kind of world. I'm with you. For every other team in the NFL, your quarterback can't have more interceptions and touchdowns. For every other team in the NFL, your running back can't average 3.7 yards per carry. Your number one pass catching option can't be averaging 8.8 yards per catch. But haven't we just seen enough to know with Kansas City, man, none of that stuff just matters. I don't know how, but I just know that tonight's game is going to be close. It's going to be unusually close. But for the Chiefs, it is usually close. The Chiefs will be down heading into the third quarter, and it just won't make any sense. They'll have a turnover that doesn't make any sense. They won't convert in the red zone, and you'll be sitting there frustrated. But you really won't get that mad about it, because you know at some point over the final 30 minutes of the game, they will just figure out a way to win. I don't know how they'll figure out a way to win. They'll get an interception from some guy you've never heard of. Patrick Mahomes will make one or two incredible plays that only he can make. Kareem Hunt will just run the ball four times and tire out and wear out the defense. Kelce will have two back-to-back catches. We've seen it happen way too many times before, I think, for people to really, really get worried about it. The Chiefs are just elevated to a place that people are not. We talk about with the Royals, like riding the roller coaster. People don't ride the roller coaster anymore with the Chiefs. They don't. There is no more roller coaster anymore. They could win today, lose today. It does not change how any of us feel about the Chiefs. Not one bit if they lose today to Tampa Bay. And they're the only team in the NFL that gets that luxury. But you get that luxury because you've been winning all this time. We overreact when Baltimore loses. If the Chiefs lose today, it'll be any given Sunday. It was going to happen. I mean, they won 17 games in a row. They can't win them all. That will be the perception if the Chiefs lose today.
How much of that lack of roller coaster that you're experiencing, and I agree with it too, is because the Chiefs are in a lull in their schedule. Like, in 2 weeks, they're playing the Bills. That's a playoff style of game on the road. The Bills are only two game back of the one seed. If they win, they're one game back with the tiebreaker in hand. Does the roller coaster restart when important games come up in the regular season? Because
I know what you're asking. I don't think the Chiefs have important regular season games anymore.
See, that's
at least to fans' perception. Let's say in this scenario, let's say the Chiefs blow this and they end up being the two seed. Are Chiefs fans worried about going on the road to any of the teams that they're going to have to play? I just think the Chiefs have reached the point where we talk about the regular season like it matters. And the regular season does matter for 31 other teams. The regular season does not appear to matter for the Chiefs. Last year's Chiefs team in the second half of the season was incredibly average. They made the postseason and they figured something out. They just have a perception of they will figure it out. You check your account, you only got $7 in there, but somehow, man, you figured out a way to get your kids new school clothes. You figured out a way to get all the things you need for the month, and you will repeat that process and do it the exact. That's who the Chiefs have become. They have become the we will figure it out kind of team.
I think in a way, we're both saying the same thing. Last year broke fans then. Because last year the team was pretty middling. Like they were 10-7, but they won their last game, the who cares game against the Chargers with all the backups, so they finished 11-6. They were basically a 10-6 team last year. 10-6 teams are not supposed to just march to the Super Bowl and just take care of business on the road twice. And basically all the problems they had in the regular season they flipped the switch and they stopped. And that's great. They had a parade. They had hoisted a banner. They're back-to-back champs. But I wonder if last year, the Chiefs being able to do that has broken fans a little bit. Because what the Chiefs did last year is not the norm. And if anything, it is a far outlier. If you play middling football over the course of regular season, you usually get beat in the postseason. If you have more turnover, if you have a negative turnover differential, you tend to get beat in the postseason. If your quarterback has more picks than touchdowns, you tend to get beat in the postseason. But those things didn't happen last year, the Chiefs. So I think last year, fans realized, oh, the Chiefs don't care about these games, so why should I? But I do think fans should look at some indicators and say, okay, is that a problem or is it just ho-hum, shut up, they're winning?
I want to play this audio for you guys because it's starting to seem, and maybe this has always been the case and I've just finally noticed it, that somebody in the media just spins the wheel and they land on a different team who's the challenger to the Chiefs. A couple of weeks ago, it was the Ravens. And the Ravens were the best team in the AFC when healthy, and you didn't want to go up against Derrick Henry, and you wanted nothing to do with Lamar Jackson. And this was a different Ravens team. And then they lost to the Raiders. And it's kind of hard to keep preaching that message after you lose to the Raiders, who just fired their offensive coordinator. They're bad. Like, the Raiders are not a good football team. Currently, they would pick in the top five. They're awful. So today, Rex Ryan spun the wheel and landed on a new team. He landed on a very familiar foe in Cincinnati.
I can tell you who Kansas City doesn't want to see, and that's Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Mm. Why? They've done it. That team has done it. Joe Burrow, they don't flinch. They, for some reason, that Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator for Cincinnati, always has a great plan against Kansas City. And Joe Burrow is the man when he goes in there. And so, to me, that's the one Kansas City doesn't want to see. I think they're going to see Baltimore. And to me, I think Baltimore is the best team. Their defense is not playing well, but they need to get it fixed. They got 9 more weeks. They got to get that defense fixed.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm watching a different NFL than everybody else is watching. If the season ended today, the Bengals wouldn't even be in the playoffs. Why are we even talking about them in the same conversation as Kansas City? Kansas City's the one seed. They're undefeated. Why are we talking about non-playoff teams in the same vein as them? That's ridiculous. That's nonsense. They have a losing record. They lost to the Patriots. Why are we discussing Cincinnati? They're 4-5. They have the same record as the Colts. Is anybody worried about the Colts? The Ravens? What have the Ravens done this season to show us that they're the best team? Have I missed it? Because I watch a lot of NFL on Sunday, and I can't think of one single thing that the Ravens have done to show us that they're the best team in the AFC or in the NFL. Two of their losses are to two teams. They lost to the Raiders and the Browns, and they also lost to Kansas City. This is nonsense. This would be like if a team lost at Allen Fieldhouse, they lost to TCU, and they lost to USF, and I came on here thinking, man, you know, I think Iowa State's the best team in the conference. You guys would laugh at me and call me a hater and say I was crazy. That's what these people go on television and do every single week with the Chiefs. How can you lose to the Chiefs? The last two times you played the Chiefs, you've lost. You also lost to a team, the Raiders, that have already fired their offensive coordinator, and you lost to Cleveland, and you still get to walk around saying you're the best? How are we indicating who's the best other than the results of the game? What other metric are we going into other than who wins and loses these games and determining who's the best? Feeling? You can't tell me defense wins championships and then in the same vein say that that team's defense not playing well, but they're the best. The Ravens are not winning anything with that defense. They're dead last in passing. They're dead last. Every team in the NFL is better at defending the pass than the Ravens, and they're the best. The Bengals, it's so ridiculous. I don't even understand why we keep. The Bengals got to get over 500 before we talk about them. Get over 500 and then we can talk. You can't be 4-5 and you're talking to me about the AFC Championship game. Nah, man. You can't be doing that. The Bengals next two games, they go on the road for Thursday Night Football and then they go on the road to play the Chargers. The Chargers, who not that bad. So, I'm sure they'll lose those two games and we'll still have to worry about Cincinnati figuring things out, even though we're getting closer and closer to Halloween. Some of you put your Christmas things up and Cincinnati's still under 500. We only got one more segment left. Let's get back to talking about D-Hop and what his role could be tonight. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. I want to tell you guys how much I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Rob, the vote for the pitch is out on who people think is the best sports talk host. We did not win. We lost to Bob Fesco and Fesco in the morning. I'm putting this solely on you. This is on you. You weren't out campaigning. You weren't handing out buttons or flyers, or you weren't trying to get the vote. We were going to bring that back to the home team, Rob. You didn't bring it back for the home team. I put you in charge of this. Where was my campaign? Where are my ad dollars? We didn't have a campaign. We didn't have a promo running so we could win.
I mean, we lost to a teammate. That's not too bad.
How can Bob Fesco's wins help us?
It's a great question. They don't hurt us. We're not harmed by it.
I was just messing with you, but
we're not harmed.
You stumped me, though.
No harm, no foul.
I'm happy for Bob. I'm happy we keep that on the team, man. First, 1, 2, and 3 were all people on 96.5 The Fan. So shout out to that.
Were we at least two? We coming to two?
We did come in second. We did come in second behind to Bob. So shout out, you know. We're the most popular afternoon show.
There you go.
Yes, that's what we're gonna say. That's what we're running with. We're running with that.
I'm psyched that I'm the second most popular Robert at this station.
No, that's possible. Somebody says C-Dot, it's because of your feelings on Dippin' Dots. Actually, that makes sense. That would make a lot of sense. Before we move forward, and maybe Spectre will even be mad at me for saying this, and honestly, that's fine. Are you guys excited? Are you guys happy that today is our last football game with political commercials? Oh, I'm so happy. Rob, we're almost out on the other side. There's not going to be any more after today. This is the last one. Monday Night Football is the last one. So soak it in. Soak in these last ads. Soak them in because they're going to be gone, baby. They're out of here after today. We don't have to watch them anymore. That's a win for you and for me. I'm thrilled about that news. I'm happy about that news. Today is a great sports day. Every team in the NBA plays tonight. We got the start of college basketball. We actually got some decent games in college basketball. KU really challenging itself in the non-con, and they play Howard today. Really challenging itself. They got Howard coming up. You guys play somebody on Friday.
There's a bigger game Friday.
Are they good? I'm just asking. Are they good?
Yes, they're better. They have a 35-year-old at shooting guard, so yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know. I was like, who do they play? I didn't know. You play Howard? Are you playing anybody that we need to keep an eye on for Friday? Is that a game that's worth paying attention to?
I mean, if you're flipping around, that a game is going to be
I'm going to be flipping around. I don't think I'm really going to be keeping up with it or watching it. I don't really know if that's some way to spend my free time. All right, before we get out of here, let's do this. I'm picking the Chiefs. In a alternate universe, I think I was going to pick Tampa Bay today. If Tampa Bay was fully healthy And the Chiefs had the Broncos coming up on Sunday, and they also had Buffalo right around the corner. I'd be using the T word. I'd be using trap. I think that Tampa Bay was good enough to catch the Chiefs in a trap 3 weeks ago. I don't think they're good enough to do that anymore. Not banged up the way that they are. Denny Matthews always says sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them. And you are picking the absolute perfect time to play Tampa Bay. I don't know if Tampa Bay has enough bullets in the gun, so to speak, to get into a shootout with the Chiefs. I don't think they have enough. They don't have Mike Evans in this matchup. They don't have Chris Godwin in this matchup. Rob, who's their number one wide receiver? Like, who do we think that they are throwing passes to in this game? Because I don't really have a good answer outside of Cade Otton who they're throwing the football to. So I just don't think they have enough in this game. And I think the Chiefs are beating them. I think they're beating them. Like, I'm looking at their last game. Cade Otton had 9 catches for 81 yards. Rakeem Jarrett had 3 for 58. Bucky Irving had 7 for 14. I mean, their top two receivers were Rakeem Jarrett and Jalen McMillan. This defense ain't losing. The offense might have some problems today. The defense will not have problems with this offense if that's who they are trotting out there. So I'm fading him. And Jalen McMillan, I think he's a running back. So no thanks. We got the Chiefs winning today.
Not a Trey Palmer believer?
No, I'm not a... I'm not a Trey Palmer believer. No, I'm not. I'm not. All right. I had a lot of fun. Keep it right here. You do not have to turn the dial. Chiefs pregame is coming up directly after us. We'll be back tomorrow for our full 4 hours to break down Monday Night Football and also get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos. Take care of yourself. Enjoy a great sports night. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.